And now we are lucky enough to be joined in the studio by two of our youth interns. They are students at Troy Prep, Ariana Young and Lauren Wilson. And they were also part of our summer program, Uptown Summer, in which they did environmental testing and worked on a documentary called Echoes from Lock One. So welcome to the studio, Ariana. How are you?
I'm good. Happy to be here.
We're happy to have you. And Lauren, welcome. Welcome back. You were on last week. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
So we were given the recommendation to read the book Asada, which is an autobiography of Asada Shakur by the poet Amani O. And Amani's going to be joining us in the studio in a moment for a couple of reasons. She right now is giving a statement at the Justice for Demeek rally, which is happening as we speak at the Sanctuary for Independent Media. And Amani is also a poet, artist, and activist who's going to be talking about the creative life, art, activism, and social justice in the 21st century as we look at more and more draconian policies coming down from the government. But for right now, we're going to begin our dialogue tonight with Lauren and Ariana discussing their reading of the beginning of the book, Asada. So could you give us a definition of who Asada Shakur is? Who is she?
Well, I feel like she's actually a black female who's like, well, who's been blamed for or wrongfully accused of just like murdering her friend and a police officer, which is like a part of this semblance of injustice that goes on in life. And then she's also like an activist who like wants to bring a change to like society. So yeah,
definitely. Under the Obama administration, she was still listed on a government terrorist watch list. And Angela Davis was on Democracy Now! Discussing the reason why Asada Shakur should not be considered a terrorist. And the book begins with a list of her alleged crimes and the charges and then the disposition. And it just says dismissed, acquitted, dismissed, dismissed. So she was wrongfully accused of these crimes, but has become known as a figure of activism and also hope. So Lauren and Ariana, could you share just a couple of your reactions to reading the book?
Well, when I saw the front page where it talks about everything that she was wrongfully accused of, I just said that that lesson helped her with difficulty she had encountered as being a black woman and in a racist society and things like that. So, yeah, Lauren, you can take it away.
Well, like Ariana said, just her being a part of, like, well, her being objected to, like, this, well, you can say, like, people would have blamed her for things. And I feel like Ariana said, the racist society, we want to, like, further ourselves from that. Like, we want to grow, but it's, like, as we see, it's, like, hard because there's so many forms and ways that racism is coming about in this generation and probably in futures.
We've just been joined in the studio by Amani O. Welcome to the studio, Amani.
We'll
let
everyone.
You catch your breath.
Literally.
Quite literally. So, Ariana, would you share with us this quote? You found, we were looking at this quote by Joy James of Williams College, a professor of humanities who discusses the importance of Asada Shakur as a cultural figure.
Okay, well, it reads, Shakur is singular because she is a recognizable female revolutionary, one not bound to a male persona. She adds, along with Harriet Tubman, Shakur would become one of the few black female figures in the United States recognized as a leader in an organization that publicly advocated armed self-defense against racist violence. So my question is, why do you think this is important for there to be recognizable female revolutionaries?
Amani, do you want to begin with that? Lauren, do you want to jump in?
I'm happy to jump in after hearing from the brilliance I'm surrounded by.
Well, I feel like it's important for, like, well, there to be recognizable females, well, female revolutionaries, because it's not really many, like, before, females weren't given the recognition they deserved, and that, like, before it was like just women were think thought of as people who were just like household bodies, you would say. And then it's like, if we grow from this and we're recognized for the things that we actually have contributed into history, maybe it'll just like just add a little bit of justice into the world.
Yeah, I agree completely. I really love what you said about adding a little bit of justice to the world, because I feel like I'm not saying I'm an expert on revolutionary readings or anything like that. I pretty much have only completed Asada Shakur's autobiography, because that is the Bible right there. But basically, I feel like she is the one person I've read who puts forth a revolution with a basis on love and like ethics being like essential. And I feel that that is something that comes along with people who can, not saying that all women have the ability to create life, but those of us who do create life are women, usually. Okay, this is getting complicated. I don't want to say the wrong thing, you know, because I'm trying to recognize that not all women have the same parts or have the same functionality inside to even create babies. Who knows? Maybe I can't even make a baby myself. Anyway, the point is to say that that feminine ability to create life, I think, comes out in so much of what Asada says in her poetry about a revolution that is based on birthing something new and different that believes in and values life.
Well, can I ask you a question on that? Because she definitely doesn't hide anger, though, at the same time. Mm-hmm. And you can understand when you read the book. I mean, it's so disorienting in the beginning, everything that happened to her. So last week we were talking about how it seems like, you know, when she gave the speech from jail, on July 4th, 1974, it was broadcast on WBAI to my people. Mm-hmm. She begins with an, you know, exhortation to love, and then gets into all of this dark history. Mm-hmm. So I just don't know, Lauren, Mani, Ariana, if you want to comment on the relationship between truth and love and Asada in that relationship between dark truth, sometimes really, really hard to manage truths, but also then that call to love.
Well, the concept of like just the truth in love itself, like you would want to tell, like if you love someone, it's sometimes hard to tell the truth. So I feel like she doesn't do that at all. She doesn't hide the truth. She exposes it because she doesn't want to hold back, because if she were to hold back, it's basically showing that who am I if I love you to hide the truth from you and not actually tell you what's going on? So it's like, it still like goes on with that image, like now today, how parents hide stuff from children because they love them. But if you never show us and you never expose those lessons or those mistakes, how will we learn from it? If we learn on our own, maybe that mistake will probably damage us. Like, it's sometimes it's best for you to expose the truth instead of lying or holding back from the people you love. So that's why I feel that that's what she does, and she exposes the truth.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the question is interesting, like as if it is a juxtaposition with love, mm-hmm. because I feel like, yeah, it the anger is, and the love and the truth, they're all in the same seed pod. I feel like it just makes sense. Like, Asada grew up like a regular kid in America for the most part. Like, oh, yeah, this is what my history of my country is. I'm so proud. I'm a patriot. And then the truth was exposed to her, and it challenged that love that she had. And then she had to form a sense of self-love amidst a society that wanted her to feel otherwise. And so I just feel like the anger is rooted in the love for freedom and the love for the people, and just being like, dang, there's way other ways that we could be living. This is so wasteful and disgusting.
And I agree with Amani. Like, it's like when you're like how she said that she was exposed, and it's like it challenged her way of love, I feel like, because like just the aspect of when sometimes you love something, it could like change the view when you're exposed to the true meaning of it, or like the true meaning of like what's going on, and you see it could either send you through a dark path or like a positive one. And she actually went through the positive road and said, okay, how can I expose the truth in a way that my brothers and sisters can benefit from this? And that's why when she actually says on from to my people, my black sisters, well, black brothers, black sisters, I want you to know I love you, and I hope that somewhere in your hearts you have love for me too. And that's what I feel like, that's how she does. But yeah.
Well, I thought we could kind of shake things up here, because we originally had planned to hear from you, Imani, on your artistic and creative career, then have a discussion of what's going on with the Justice for Dameek campaign, and then have this discussion on Asada. And because you were just in the other room giving that report, I was wondering, and then Lauren and Ariana, you can take over with asking Imani questions, but I was wondering if you could share the points that you just shared at the Justice for Dameek press conference that's happening, and also just a general update on what's going on with that.
Sure. The press conference was a couple of different concerned neighbors, family members, legal representatives of Dameek McDonald, who was shot by a police officer. I can't remember what the police officer's name is right now. We should find out, but people should definitely Google it. But yeah, I was shot by a police officer in Troy, New York, like unarmed, regular, just a civilian situation. And basically, he survived, unlike Edson Devenin, who was murdered when he was shot by the police about a year before. And so folks were basically gathering in response to what the mayor said in response to the attorney general report, saying that there was foul play that happened with the handling of the Edson Devenin case, and in recommending that different higher forces come in and do an investigation, because they didn't feel like any thorough police changes or ensuring of civilian safety was coming through out of that police department. And so folks here were gathered to just put forth a demand for a civilian review board with actual power to implement change, as well as for Governor Cuomo to recommend that the Troy Police Department, or to see to it that the Troy Police Department follows through with the recommendations from the Attorney General. That's how you couldn't just be rogue on the Attorney General. The Attorney General said, do something, you need to do it. That's it. So that's what the people are here to say. And my points were just kind of embellishing on the parts of that that just touched me. We do not want to see our children shot by the Troy Police Department anymore. We don't want to hear about any more Troy Police Department officers becoming murderers. It's the very same things that Asada is talking about in her book and her To My People speech. That speech just moved me. It moves me. I actually did like a poetic recording of it. It's on my website. I love that piece, because she just skillfully just highlights all of these injustices that have happened against black people and that are still persisting. And I don't even know how many years ago. Was the 70s? And so it's like she could have wrote it yesterday. It's like she can write it tomorrow. And we're gathered for those very same reasons that she highlights. The children shot in the back by police officers. 10-year-olds she's talking about. She's naming names. At like countless names, there's always names. Every 28 hours, there's names. And here in Troy, we have names, and we don't want any more names. And so that's where we are.
We're joined in the studio by Imani Ologbala. And Lauren, could you introduce Imani?
Imani Ologbala is a poet, musician, artist, and activist. She is a tireless advocate. And movements for social justice, and a great artistic collaborator in Capital Region arts and poetry scenes, working closely with artists such as Kat So Poetic, Danielle Collin, and Tiana Asali.
Taina. She's the one who put me onto my very first show here. Shout out to Taina.
Well, thank you so much for joining us and for that update on Justice for Dameek.
Okay, so can you define your work? In other words, like, What are the terms you feel comfortable using in identifying yourself as an activist, poet, musician, and artist?
Ooh, I wish I would have thought about this before and thought of something really cool to say. I feel like I am stardust activated. And sometimes that turns into the form of an educator. Sometimes it's a farmer. I think that I'm just a person who is passionate for life. And I like making people laugh. And I believe in freedom.
How did you first find your calling in poetry and music?
Oh, thank you for asking that question. I think it's really, I'm curious about that as well. I don't feel like I identified myself as a poet until maybe like about 3 years ago. I emancipated myself from a toxic relationship and really started, the poetry was just flowing and I was looking up places to go share. I went to a couple open mics in the city. I'm from New York City originally. And I was like, okay, this is so awesome. But I was like, I'm not going to read though. What? No. So then I was up here in Albany. I looked up something and I found out that you could read your poetry, your original poetry. You could win money if people liked your poetry. I was like, what? So I did it and I won and I got hooked. And yeah, so that was about like 3 years ago. And just started to find it as more of an outlet to talk about these issues that are exciting or enraging to me.
Your work extends in so many fields through your work with Soul Fire Farm, your constant presence and movements for social change, and your writing and performance of poetry in your life as a musician. What is the thread of all your work? Well, between all your work.
Oh my gosh, y'all are so nice. I'm like that bio, I'm gonna just add it to my bio. I was like, wait, where'd that come from? Collaborator? Thank you, I appreciate that. What's the thread of my work? I think truth. What's my truth? I think it's always shifting. Like, oh, wait, that's so interesting because I can hear myself right there. Wow. I'm like, wow, that sounds like me. It is me. Cool. I think that it's about, like, just as I continue to learn myself, know myself, and what do I need? And so often in my life, I need affirmation. And I feel like the folks in my life around me, it benefits them as well. And they enjoy hearing it a lot of the times. I like hearing affirmations all the time. And so I think that's what comes through my work. My truth. Affirmations for myself and others who are in need of the same kind of cosmic pick-me-up energy and creativity. I don't know. ADHD.
Mm-hmm. So you say creativity. So what or who are the biggest preoccupations and influences in your creativity or imagination and things along those lines?
Ooh. That's a good question. Okay.
That's fired.
Y'all are so, I'm so impressed right now. I never did anything like this when I was in high school. I think y'all are so cool. I can't wait to see how y'all develop. I can't wait to just watch y'all. Basically, I feel most on a day-to-day influenced by my best friend, Cass So Poetic. I went with her to the studio like maybe 3 years ago and was just so blown away, like, what? And so inspired. And I went home and wrote a verse to the song that she had recorded. And I just have been rapping since. And she just always, I just always get inspired and encouraged by her to just keep doing better at what we're doing together. And I guess in a larger, like, you know, in a young people kind of way, there was like TLC and like Queen Latifah and like then there's Harriet Tubman and Asada Shakur. There's my mom, Malcolm X. There's, who do I like? I like everybody, but you know, we're not gonna be here all day. You know, I like Fall Out Boy, you know, it depends on the moment.
Can you please describe your writing process and does the writing begin in a And then do you edit for a wider audience? Like, do you fix your writing for a wider audience or a bigger message?
These questions are just so good.
I feel, I generally, my style is free write. I'm just like, this is it. This is the feeling. It came to me, or this is the project I've been tasked to do. I had the honor of sharing at the Justice for Dameek rally that we had. We did like a speak out down in front of the farmer's market a couple of weeks ago. And so I wrote a piece for that. And or I had to speak, I had the honor of sharing after James Baldwin's I Am Not Your Negro that the Albany Housing Authority showed last week, and I wrote a piece for that. And generally, I'll be really busy and very distracted in many things, so I'll just, like, free write a piece, and that's what it is. But if I feel like it has to be in front of, like, cameras or, like, TV and, like, or maybe certain kinds of people might be in the room, I will comb through it and maybe try to find alternative ways to say the exact same thing that I'm trying to say. But generally, I just like to just go and let it be.
Okay, so Cornel West just published an article in The Guardian about how we're living in times that he characterizes as spiritually blackout. He references a certain moral and ethical decay in culture and the political rot of a system that continuously allows the vulnerable to be exploited. So I want to ask, do you agree with this description, or do you have another take on our social realities?
Oh, wow. May I see that, please? I heard the whole thing, but I just remember the very last part. It's like the allows the vulnerable to be exploited. I feel like that's just so quite obvious. Spiritual blackout, that's deep. Mm-hmm. I feel complicated about that term just only because, you know, I love blackness and I think that it is the basis for, you know, all things. It is the background of light. It is the space of which something new will be born. And so, I mean, I bet you the womb is probably mad black inside, just saying. But I feel that definitely, I don't know what moral and ethics and culture that existed ever since, like, the forming of this nation. I don't know what Cornel West is referring to when he says a decay in those morals and those ethics, because we all know this nation was formed on the exploitation of people and land. But I think definitely we're seeing a lack. A spiritual lackout. I like all that. Definitely a decay in the ethics that I feel like we're all as humans born with. And I don't have any other kind of take on our social reality. I think that's what the case is so clearly. But I do think it is a great ground for us to build and birth something new.
Secondly, how do you balance the reckoning of certain dark truths with the desire for art to be a kind of balm or salve that can save us?
This is so poetically written. Like, art is a salve. Like, I don't know if people know back home, like, an ointment. Kind of like art as an ointment to the, you know, right? The eczema, I'm about to get into it. I'm like, the eczema of the exploitation of our existence. All right. We got 18 poets in the room, so, you know, we're turning up. But basically, I think that art is what allows the balance for me. And I think that it definitely, I think it can definitely be a balm and a salve as well as a catapult. I think it can be a firecracker. And so that's what it is for me. I really love this song, Manifesto by Nako Bear, Medicine for the People. And basically, it just encourages people. Like, this is music. This is how I use it. It's medicine for the people. It makes me move and moves the movement. And it's like, this is how I use it. Knowing that's not hopeless. Y'all should look it up. Maybe we could play it. I don't know if there's, like, the rights you got to get, but folks should look it up. It's Nako Bear, Medicine for the People. And basically, it just talks about find your medicine, whatever it is that you have, whatever your balm is, your salve is for the world, use it. Because we need it. Because for me, the alternative is to just sit with these horrible truths. And I know that we have the power. I know that change has happened. I know that it's happened by a small group of people every single time. I know that words are powerful. I know that we've created our world. And so I'm just committed to bringing forth something different with folks who believe in the vision.
We've only got a small bit of time left. Can you share your work with us?
Oh, snap. What should I share?
Anything.
Can you make some kind of request about the topic or style?
Whatever.
Well, I don't know.
About like dark and truth, like just like expand on that. I feel like
okay. I can do a rap.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay. It's kind of old. Hope it works. All right. Sitting in the state. Wait, okay, no. Sitting in Troy, flow sicker than a kid in a city with a dream, with a cream or the crop. Got the crops and the cops, and they stop and they frisk and they diss like they missed that segment of their history. But once we learned it, they can't say ish to me. Twisted up my head with their words and their trickery. Master teacher taking us to school because we lift and beat. But while they locking, we building our communities. Don't try and stop it, yo. I'm buried in your destiny. And like a seed, yo, I'm coming up incessantly. Don't want to mess with me. Soil is my treasury. Rewriting rules with your tools, it's my pleasure. Be I do it for my youth and the elderly. Had to drop a lock on my curls because they sweating me. Got carrying the ankh on my chest because they threaten me. Collecting pride and power just by knowing my ancestry. Knowledge, we taking back their victory. Faking smoke like hickory. I know you can't reflect the me in your mirror, so I'm tearing it down. Ask what you wearing when you know it's a crown. A tribe is what they fearing. We gonna turn us around. I say unite is what they fearing. We gonna turn us around. I say unite is what they fearing. We gonna turn us around. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yes. Thank y'all. Y'all are amazing.
Thank you so much for being here, Imani.
Thank you. It's my honor.
So that was Imani Olugbala, poet, artist, and activist.